This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Hockey News Podcast. I'm Stephen Ellis. Joining me as always is Ryan Kennedy. Ryan, it's free agency. How you doing?
Pretty good. It's a marathon, not a sprint, but it was quite the marathon today, I will say.
Yeah, a lot of signings, a lot of big names still on the board at this point. As of the time of recording this, and this is about 5:39 p.m. Eastern time, so depending when you listen to it, who knows what happens. Johnny Gaudreau, John Klingberg, Nazem Kadri have not signed. And those are three of the top players, three top five essentially, that have not been signed at this point, which makes this kind of interesting. Especially if Johnny Gaudreau, the one team that kind of seemed to be in it for a while, was the Philadelphia Flyers. And they said they're not in it. I guess when you have $2 million cap space, that makes it hard to sign a guy that reportedly got about a $12 million offer. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was from
Columbus.
Columbus.
That was the rumor.
That is a rumor. So there's been a lot of rumors, but it's been an interesting free agency day, first day. And I love this day because a lot of the times you get to kind of remember certain things about certain players and see guys like, oh, I haven't heard your name since last year's free agency, but it's been kind of fun. We are going to talk about kind of some of the winners of free agency, and it's hard to pick winners and losers like 6 hours into free agency when, again, some of the key players have not been signed at this point. But I do want to talk about a couple guys in particular. We'll start with Claude Giroux going to the Ottawa Senators. That was one of the predictions that was made on our preview podcast a couple days ago. And not exactly a crazy one. It was rumored for a long time. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's a big win for the Senators. And I think along with the moves that GM Pierre Dorion made to get Alex DeBrincat from Chicago via trade and then to trade for goaltender Cam Talbot, it's a big signal that the Senators are ready to move on to the next phase of their rebuild. So they've stockpiled the good young players. Those good young players, for the most part, have already gotten at least a year or two of NHL experience, one of whom is already the captain in Brady Tkachuk, obviously a bit more experienced than that. But now it's about fortifying with veterans. So goaltending, they definitely needed help. You know, Talbot has been a very good netminder in the past, bit of an up and down career, but certainly an upgrade for them. Then, you know, you look at Claude Giroux, and this is a guy that he can play center. He can play on the wing for you as well. He brings a lot of leadership to the room. You know, he's not going to be that 100 point guy he once was with the Flyers. But having said that, you know, when he was traded to the Florida Panthers before the deadline, he had 23 points in 18 regular season games. So, you know, he can still make things happen. So you add him and DeBrincat, you know, a 40-goal scorer who's only 24 years old. Maybe that's your top line, those two and Brady Tkachuk. And then you've got Tim Stützle. You've got Josh Norris. You've got Drake Batherson. You know, you've still got Shane Pinto coming up the ranks. Like, that's a pretty nice forward core they already have developing. And it just feels like Giroux is a great piece. I would say if they didn't get to DeBrincat and they didn't go for Talbot, then it would have felt too early for them to get Giroux. But now that he's got a little more help there, it's like, okay, well, you know, that last spot in the division in the Atlantic, that might be up for grabs. Like, Boston's going to start the year off pretty hobbled due to some offseason surgeries. And, you know, Detroit and Buffalo are going to be trying to do the same thing as Ottawa, come out of their rebuilds. But right now, it feels like the Senators are a little more ahead of those other contenders for that fourth spot.
And to add to DeBrincat, I know some people on Twitter were saying, like, well, like, he got a lot of points with guys like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. Like, what's he going to do in Ottawa? It's a lesser team. But it's like, well, he's going to have some good centers to work with no matter what. So,
yeah.
And you throw in a guy like Claude Giroux, a potential guy to play with, like, he's going to have some pretty good players to play with. Yeah. And this is a team on the upswing, of course. Like, we know Thomas Chabot's a good defenseman. They got Jake Sanderson coming up. They got some decent defense. My question a couple days ago was, what's Ottawa going to do next? And they at least got one answer, and then they went out Cam Talbot. Is he the guy that can really take you to it? I don't know, but we'll have to see there. But I kind of like what Ottawa's doing, and getting out there and getting Giroux, getting that big splash right away, that's awesome. So Ottawa Senators looking fantastic right now. Another one I wanted to talk about, Darcy Kuemper. He went to the Washington Capitals. That was a name that we kind of heard rumored maybe yesterday to this morning, and it was a good one where Ilya Samsonov, he becomes this unqualified. He's not going to stick around. They already traded Vitek Vanacek. You get a better goalie.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope in Washington, right? Now, I mean, we mentioned this on the podcast before, Darcy Kuemper coming off that scary eye injury that, you know, he managed to play through in Colorado in order to get them that Stanley Cup. But, I mean, it was clearly affecting him at different times. So I think that's going to be probably the big priority in the offseason is making sure that that eye is, you know, at full strength. Because, you know, the Capitals, they're not a great defensive team. They haven't been for years, but they've had some pretty good goalies in the past. Obviously, last year it was pretty shaky with Vanacek and Samsonov. You know, Vanacek had the better results, I would say, overall. But it's a team that's still in its window, and there is uncertainty. We don't know about Nick Backstrom. Is he going to be able to play at all? It still is up in the air. But you do have Alex Ovechkin. You do have Evgeny Kuznetsov. You know, with Kuemper, he had offers elsewhere. I had heard that, you know, Toronto had made him an offer that might have actually been more money. But, you know, you do have to think about term, of course. I don't know what the term was that Toronto was offering. And there's fit as well. You know, if Kuemper thought that Washington was a better spot for him at this point in his career, certainly not a bad option given, you know, the players we mentioned. And coming off a Stanley Cup, you know, this is the time to sort of hit it with free agency, get some term, get some dollars, and definitely, you know, well-deserved for a guy that's really persevered during his NHL career.
A guy that, when he played in Arizona and played in Minnesota, I thought he did a lot with kind of the teams that he was on. He was never on a team that supported him super well offensively, so he had to kind of steal some wins. He did a good job. Goes to Colorado, and it's almost like a reward. He spends 1 year there, and it's kind of like a reward for all the hard work he had in his career. A guy who kind of, when he thrust into the scene, it's like, okay, I think he was, I want to say this was the end of the Josh Harding era, where there was like, where's Minnesota's goaltending going? Kuemper kind of just shows up. And wins a Stanley Cup, has had a good year, and now he gets a nice payday in Washington. Not a huge payday, of course, but this is something where if you look back at the series against, it was Florida first round, right? Florida-Washington first round? Yes, that sounds right. It's been a while.
That's true.
Darcy Kuemper could, like, if he was the goalie for the Capitals, the way the Panthers didn't play that great.
It's true.
And the Capitals did lead that series at one point. If you throw Darcy Kuemper in there, maybe you're winning a few more games.
Very possible.
But at the same time, Darcy Kuemper played on the team who won the Stanley Cup, and his playoff numbers were not great either.
Yeah, and he was very much a kind of bend-don't-break goaltender. I mean, you know, he did have at least one shutout that I can remember. I think Pavel Francouz had a shutout as well. And, you know, Colorado, a better defensive team, especially, you know, when you think about how good they were getting the puck out of their own zone, thanks to guys like Makar and Bowen Byram and Devon Taves. And you have, you know, they had some very good defensive forwards as well. So it's going to be a challenge in Washington. It's certainly a tricky division they're in. But, you know, the Caps, like I said, they're still trying to prolong that Ovechkin window, and bringing in a veteran netminder was certainly at the top of the list for them.
You know, you talked about Colorado's defense there. I want to talk about a guy who was also on that team that won the Stanley Cup, Josh Manson, sticking around $4.5 million for 4 years. And I talked about him on Monday and saying, he's the guy I'm a little worried to be overpaid here. Like, I almost was thinking, like, the number that struck me was like $6 million because of the way he played in the playoffs. But they get him for 4.5, and I think at 4 years, he might take a lot of penalties, but he does enough good that you can warrant that.
Yeah, and, you know, this is the sort of player that becomes more valuable in the postseason, where it becomes tighter checking, it becomes a war of attrition. We saw how well he played for Colorado in that run to the title. He's a physical guy, he's a big guy, but you know what, he also does have some offense to his game. We saw it with that great breakaway goal that he had in the final, where he kind of joked about, you know, not passing it back to Cogliano, he was going to take that one all the way himself. So, you know, for Colorado, it's going to be interesting to see how they rebound from this summer, because it's obviously a long season. They lost their starting goaltender. They didn't snag a true number one to replace him. And, you know, it's, you know, they're going to lose Nazem Kadri as well, so the depth's not going to be the same. But they will have a healthy Samuel Girard on the back end. So maybe it's just a different look, Colorado, and a team that's still very dangerous. Can they repeat? that's sort of the million-dollar question.
So I was worried about doing the podcast at this point because I was worried there'd be some moves.
Aha. We got to move?
Vegas. It sounds like Max Pacioretty and Dylan Coughlin to Carolina.
Wow.
Don't know the return. Don't know anything. Mike Stevens, who's over here, he's been kind of ready.
I'll update you guys.
He will let us know when something happens. All right. So,
it had to happen for Vegas because obviously they're in a huge cap crunch, and unfortunately Max Pacioretty is the sort of big ticket guy that has value that, you know, there's only so many game, there's only so many chairs in this game of musical chairs in Vegas.
See, just off the top of the head, trying to think who they can move. Like, I don't know, Martin Etchess?
No.
Stop. I don't know. Martin Etchess maybe in that trade.
You know what? I mean, that's a very good possibility. You know, there was talks of Carolina maybe moving on him. Maybe, you know, a change of scenery was necessary for him. So I guess we'll wait until the end of the podcast and see if the return materializes.
And Mike will have a story on the website for us about that too. Make sure to send to Jared. We're basically doing our on-the-floor work here in the middle of the podcast. Mm. Also, David Perron says, to the Blues fans and players, I'll never forget you. Thanks for the memories. It breaks my heart to think it's over. Man, how many times have you returned to
the... I was going to say, it's like you'll be back at like the trade deadline next year. Like
Detroit's going to want to kind of capitalize on your contract. At least it was 2 years, I think. So like maybe next year he'll go back to
the David Blues. David Perron will always return to the Blues at some point.
He's kind of the guy that I can see that signs a one-day contract and is
for sure.
So
yes.
There's that. Jack Campbell to the Edmonton Oilers. That's one that, man, we've been talking about the Oilers needing goaltending. And they might finally have it. Now, this is a guy that doesn't have a lot of starting experience. And right now the situation, it sounds like Mike Smith probably on LTIR. I'd love to see the reasoning for that. And then Stuart Skinner is the backup. So when you're looking at that, all right. I think Toronto might actually have their, or Edmonton might have their guy now.
I think so. And, you know, you're right. Like Jack Campbell, I think he's had 142 career NHL starts, which is not a huge body of work. You know, like Andrei Vasilevsky, if you include playoffs, has played more than that in the past 2.5-3 years. But, I mean, when Campbell was on Toronto and when he was healthy, I mean, he was excellent. And the team loved him. He was an excellent teammate. You know, kind of hard on himself. He was kind of his own worst critic, and he would sort of take the blame for losses even when it wasn't really his fault. But, you know, he's got a good friend in Zach Hyman that's already in Edmonton. So there's some familiarity there. And yeah, you know, I mean, Campbell, he just has to not lose them games.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you look at Toronto, yeah, they lost to the Lightning in the first round. It was 7 games. Campbell wasn't the problem. No. You know, like Vasilevsky at the end of that series really stepped up for the Bolts. Campbell didn't flag. Mm. It just so happened that, you know, it was a super tight series and a couple of things went the wrong way for the Maple Leafs. It could have ended in 6 games for Toronto, let's not forget. So for Edmonton, yeah, you know, like it feels like almost all the pieces are there at this point. And with McDavid and Draisaitl leading the charge up front, with Darnell Nurse really coming into his own in the past, I would say 2 years, you know, the defense core is a lot better than it used to be. And I'm going to say it now, I think Evan Bouchard is going to break out even more than he already has.
And Broberg's still coming
season.
Too.
Philip Broberg, I would expect him to get some decent minutes, even if it's just third pairing and getting him started off. You know, there's a guy that can be a shutdown player, but can also be a two-way guy that gets you some offense, depending on what you need. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's good. And
the return is coming.
Okay, Mike's eyes just bugged out there.
Future considerations.
Aha. Okay, so this is a pure salary dump for Vegas,
which is funny because like the guy who was like a easy 30 goal scorer every year is a future consideration.
But again, you know, and when you look at the Matt Murray trade for Toronto, future considerations as well.
Yes, true.
This is the flat cap world, and this is, you know, the world where RFAs like Ilya Samsonov are not getting qualified by teams because the money is so tight right now because you had those long-term contracts that were signed before the pandemic, Pacioretty obviously being one of them in Vegas, where teams just did not anticipate that the cap would only be 82.5 right now, even though we got those new American TV contracts signed. So, you know what? I mean, great for Carolina. here's a team that just landed Brent Burns for mm-hmm. basically nothing from San Jose. I mean, the Hurricanes now, I mean, hats off to Don Waddell, the GM there, and all his staff. They're essentially getting, like, free veteran players from distressed organizations. You know, San Jose, obviously,
yep.
in the rebuild part and needing to shed salary to, you know, get things sort of bottomed out. But, yeah, I mean, free Pacioretty. Who wouldn't go for that?
That's interesting. So,
and just to wrap up the Jack Campbell talk, yeah, that was kind of the final piece for the Oilers, is a goaltender they could count on game after game. Yeah, the track record isn't long, but we've seen what Jack Campbell can be, and it's what Edmonton needs.
Yep. No, agreed. So I think that's a really nice pickup there. It's not going to hurt them too much cap-wise. They still have to make some decisions on Puljujärvi and Yamamoto, but this is a team that I could truly feel confident in next year.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I truly believe in the goaltending. Plus, Stuart Skinner showed some nice flashes last year. I trust Stuart Skinner next year more than Mikko Koskinen ever.
Right.
So, except at like the Olympics in 2018.
Right.
That's it. Another player I want to talk about, Andrew Kopp, going mm-hmm. 5 years, $5.625 million. A guy that 3 years ago, we probably wouldn't be talking about a top guy on free agency. But the Rangers and Jets kind of had some good value in it. Some great value in him. This is kind of his reward for it. And a guy who's hard to play against, good two-way guy, is, you know, probably isn't going to put up 50 points every year, but he's going to be a guy that I think will move the needle at least a bit in Detroit.
I think so. And, you know, fun for him because he's a Michigan boy. So he returns back to sort of the hometown team. And, you know, you look at what the Red Wings are doing right now and, you know, kind of like Ottawa Light. In a way, mm-hmm. they didn't make a huge splash as the Senators did with Giroux, but Kopp and David Perron, as we were mentioning, coming into Detroit really helps kind of just like fortify that growing forward group led by Dylan Larkin, Lucas Raymond, you know, Bertuzzi, guys like that. So you bring in some veterans, and yeah, Kopp, he does a little bit of everything, which is nice. Is he a second liner? Is he a third liner? I think he's kind of, he can do both.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of nice. I still think Detroit's defense core outside of Moritz Seider is a bit of a mess right now. They made some signings, but they weren't really the kind of guys you want to rely on if you're a contender. But I think, you know, again, the process is not finished yet mm-hmm. in Detroit. But bringing in a guy like Kopp on a long-term deal, it stabilizes things. And sure. he can be one of those guys counted on to play hard minutes, take on some tough assignments, let the kids continue to grow and flourish. And, you know, that kind of lifts all boats at the end of the day.
Andre Kasha just signed a $1.5 million contract with the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes continue to work.
Just working it. And Kasha, you know, he was, when he was healthy, he was good in Toronto. And again, you know, a guy that can give you secondary scoring, even tertiary scoring. And yeah, just needs to, you know, unfortunately, you know, he's had some concussions, and that's the sort of injury that you really can't predict when it comes to either short or long-term effects. So it's a bit of a gamble in that respect. But again, when you've already had a pretty solid lineup and you're adding somebody like that at a pretty low risk, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Good for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, so. Alrighty, I want your winners. Who are your favorites? I guess you're the teams that have done the most today. And I guess the Carolina Hurricanes have to be on that list now.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, just in the span of this podcast, Carolina's become my favorite.
And you asked Brent Burns about, like, this. Like you said, like, you've been in the Stanley Cup final.
Right.
Like, this is a team that's going to be in contention for a bit. And literally in the last 45 minutes, a lot
yeah,
has changed.
I think the Hurricanes bumped themselves up the power rankings just as we were doing this podcast here. But, you know, getting a guy like Burns who's been there before, I think really helps Carolina just in terms of, not that they needed leadership per se, but that specific kind of experience. And he talked about how hard it is and what a grind it is, but also how fun a run to the final mm-hmm. can be. And now, I mean, they've got sort of all the horses to do it, assuming their goaltending stays healthy.
Oh.
Huge X factor.
Another trade here.
Another trade?
What we got now? Washington sending a second round pick in 2024 to Ottawa for Connor Brown.
Oh, okay. So Connor Brown, a name that was sort of bandied about a lot because he is such a valuable player who can go up and down your lineup.
But that's it, though? A second rounder?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like much, but who knows? I mean, if you're Ottawa, I guess you're just looking to get more bodies, more young bodies in there. And you know, I mean, the market is what it is right now. I'm not sure what Connor Brown's contract status is.
I think he's a UFA after next season.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, a second round, it doesn't sound like a lot, but I guess we'll see. So anyways, yeah, Carolina winner. Ottawa winner, we already talked about Giroux, DeBrincat, and Talbot. I would also say, a little more subtly, I liked what the Rangers did in bringing in Trocheck because he can be, I mean, he's like the definition of a number two center. And you've got Mika Zibanejad, who's your number one center, and they needed someone to replace Ryan Strome because it appears he was on his way out. So, you know, I liked what they did there. And, you know, they had a couple of other moves that were, you know, nice, like not like radical. Yaroslav Halak coming in as the backup. Again, he's like the definition of a perfect backup. You know, veteran guy, has seen it all before, but has shown that if you needed him to take over for a couple of weeks, even a month, he'll jump in and he'll do that work for you and he can, you know, he can help you. So I like that because obviously with Igor Shesterkin, still a young netminder, even though he is a Vezina winner, you don't want him playing too much because you want him fresh for a long playoff run. That's obviously the mission in New York now. It's like they're in that window. So, yeah, just Chris Drury doing some nice moves, not like going wild with the checkbook, but getting it done what needed to be done.
Yeah, big fan of what Rangers have done. Big fan of what Ottawa's done. Because even though Giroux was like the most kind of big notable move they made today, it's just everything they've done in the last like week has been very beneficial for this franchise. And the question is, what does this team view themselves at? And I think now they're saying we're serious. And that's cool. To an extent, I like Detroit. And I know David Perron's like their key guy. He's older. Dominic Kubalik.
And Cobb.
He's fine. Kopp was good. Who else? Ben Chiarot. To me, this screams more like a team that's a little harder to play against.
Yes.
And they're not going to fall super low in the standings, but they're still not there. Right. But I feel like Perron in particular could be something where they could trade him before his second year's over.
To St. Louis.
Yeah. And you get some, you get a good return from there.
Yeah.
You got Kopp, who you can kind of rely on. You do need to have some veterans on this team instead of these young guys just running the show.
And I would say, you know, it's a bit of a tip of the cap to Dylan Larkin, who has really sort of grown up during kind of paltry times in Detroit and say, hey, you're not on your own here. And, you know, I believe his contract is coming up very soon.
Yes.
So I think it's a way of the Red Wings saying to Dylan Larkin, like, hey, if you stick around, like, we're starting to get something going here, and we're going to make sure that, you know, you're not on your own up there as a player who is under the or over the age of 25.
Yeah, so I do like that. One team I want to point to as a loser for today, and not necessarily their fault, the Calgary Flames.
Sure.
They're not going to get Cujo.
Yeah.
That hurts. And then now you got to wonder, what's Matt Tkachuk's future there? Would they go out there and get Kadri if Tkachuk could stay there? If Tkachuk leaves, can they attract any free agents at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really a tough situation for the Calgary Flames. It's funny. My initial thought when it, you know, when it came out that Gaudreau was not going to re-sign was, well, then they can back up the Brinks truck to Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Before it looked like, and I think we even talked about this on the podcast, it looked like maybe Tkachuk would have to take a bridge and, you know, wait until some other contracts came off the books next year. But now it's like priority number one has to be get Matthew Tkachuk basically whatever he wants. I still think the Calgary Flames would be a pretty decent team. You know, maybe not as highly regarded as they were this year, where everything seemed to fall into place in terms of Daryl Sutter's deployment of guys. You know, Eric Goodbranson, obviously, now member of the Columbus Blue Jackets, but I mean, Calgary really got the most out of Gudbranson. I mean, he, probably the best hockey he's played maybe in his career.
Statistically, his best offensive numbers.
Yeah, and just as, in terms of impact. Nikita Zadorov, another player where, you know, he had always been kind of a roller coaster in the NHL, and he still has that sort of Leroy Jenkins to him where he would just decide to rush the puck for no reason.
Yes.
Even though he's like 6'6". But having said that, most of the time he was doing exactly what they needed him to do. And they still have Oliver Shillington. They still have Noah Hanifin, two players that were greatly improved, I thought, yep, in the past sort of year, yes, year and a half. So, I mean, if they could get Kadri, I'm not saying that solves all their problems, but it certainly helps, and it certainly makes them one of the better teams in that division, especially with Vegas losing Patrick Reddy. But yeah, tough because, I mean, Gaudreau was up for the Hart Trophy this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he was top five in votes, if I'm not mistaken. One of the top producers in the NHL. You can't replace a 100-point guy.
No, not easy.
But maybe you have a slightly different style to how you play. And we know with Daryl Sutter, he's proven himself to be pretty adaptive with the Flames. And just as a coach in general, you know, going off what his profile was with the Kings back in the day,
mm-hmm,
coming to Calgary, it was good to see him adapt to the new NHL. So I think he can still have this team in a pretty good position. But yeah, I mean, tough day if you're a Flames fan.
One more team I want to talk about, and they didn't make any big splashes today, but I guess it'd be hard for us to forget about the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
And they signed Rickard Rakell and they signed Evgeny Malkin. So they didn't actually bring anyone totally noteworthy in that I can think of right off the top of my head.
Mm.
But you kind of need those guys if you're going to continue to be contenders. And the question is, and some people brought it up, it's like, okay, but when you look at, like, you're bringing in Malkin for one more year, and he's been part of this group that has struggled in the playoffs for the last couple of years since they won those two cups.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kind of just relying on the past, the sentimental thing here? But Malkin was still over basically a point per game player all year last year, mm-hmm, for a guy who missed half the season. So if he could even come close to playing a full part of the season, he's still very valuable to this group.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a big if because, as we've talked about before, you know, it's been a struggle for him to stay healthy for an entire campaign. And, you know, Chris Letang re-signing, mm-hmm, earlier on. So very much Pittsburgh getting the band back together one more time. Well, for a few years based on those contracts. How good can they be? It's hard to say. I think their goaltending, it's, like, decent. The defense core could probably use some work. You've got Crosby and Malkin, so you know you're going to be at least above average,
yep,
you know, in the NHL. How much can they surround those guys, given their cap situation? You know, retaining Rakell after getting him at the deadline from Anaheim, I think that was a pretty big win for them. But again, tough division, you know. I mean, Carolina is looking like number one right now, and the Rangers probably number two.
Yep.
Then you get into the Washingtons, and who knows? I mean, if the Islanders sign Johnny Gaudreau, then what does that mean for their chances in the, mm-hmm, division? It's fun for us because we don't have to play against those teams. We just get to watch it. But it's certainly still a challenge for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so there's still a lot of this offseason to begin, to go, because today's literally day one of free agency. The players have all summer long. We do expect some of these talented players might wait a little bit. You don't need to rush. You've got time on your side here. A guy like John Klingberg is not going to run out of opportunities here. A guy like Gaudreau, obviously the kind of the star player. The teams will be there for him. So we'll see what happens. So at the time of recording this, we are finishing this at about 6:07. By the time you hear this, maybe we're talking about a ton of different players that have signed. So sorry, but you know what?
That's life.
That is life. So thank you very much for watching, listening, however you consume this episode, and we'll see you again soon. I can feel myself.